Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what's funny, Al?
What do you got?
Is that you and I did the same thing this weekend, independent from one another, without telling each other that we were doing it. And it's something that I don't know that either one of us have ever done previously in our lives.
Watch Tangled?
Not that. We both had an eye out on the LPGA event here in Los Angeles this weekend. He says to me, he goes, hey, did you see where Maya Stark finished? I'm like, I did. I watched the back nine yesterday. Yes.
How'd you do?
She finished second.
She finished second. Shouts 12 out. Under won it. 9 under got second.
That we were both keeping track of the leaderboard at the JM Eagle Championship presented by Plas Pro Sleigh. Was not something I had on our books this
week. Was she rocking all Nike still?
She was, honestly, she looked like she was dressed exactly like she was on Thursday when we saw her. I'm sure it was different outfit, but the same idea.
There is a little bit of, wait a minute, no, no, we just got to hang out with her.
Yeah,
she was. No, we were at the event.
She was delightful.
We got a chance to see, you know, some of these women perform on the big stage. It was.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I would get an email over the weekend. I'd get an email from our guy on Thursday, but over the weekend, kept saying the emails of like, okay, hey, here's where the leaderboard is. I found myself on Saturday going on. Found myself yesterday, you know, rooting for her as well, hoping she'd win.
Susan and I went to lunch yesterday at the little dive bar that we like to go to on the weekends. And we're sitting there and having some lunch. And on one of the TVs is basketball, another one's hockey, and one of them is on the golf channel. Mm-hmm. And she's over, I don't know what it was, 10-footer for birdie. And I'm like, oh, she missed it. And Susan's like, what are you watching? I'm like, the golf. She goes,
like,
what golf?
Understand.
I'm like, right there. That's
you
the girl
understand.
That I interviewed.
We know people. We got connections with people.
It was great. It is a Michelob Ultra Reaction Monday here on 710. And tonight, it is a Michelob Ultra Watch Party in the city of Downey. Join the ESPN LA Street Team starting at 6 o'clock tonight at Ojos Locos in Downey to root on the purple and gold for Game 5 tonight. It is Ojos Locos, 8350 Firestone Boulevard in Downey. You can win ESPN LA swag, and you got a chance to take home an Austin Reeves autographed basketball. We will see you tonight. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. So I'm going to tell you something, and then I'm going to contradict myself in the very next sentence. So prepare yourself. Draft grades are real dumb. draft grades are stupid because they picked these guys Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? Nobody's played a game. Nobody's been good. Nobody's been bad. Nobody's been a massive disappointment. Nobody's been an unbelievable revelation. We don't know.
Right.
Did anybody know that Puka Nacua was going to be Puka Nacua last year on the Monday after the draft? No.
Yep.
Okay.
Or Kobe Turner.
Both good and bad. There are incredibly pleasant surprises and there are incredibly devastating busts.
Before you go any further,
yes.
With all that said,
yes.
What grade do you get?
Okay, so
by the way, that's kind of the funny thing because in the NFL, and this is not uncommon to the NFL, but NFL probably more. You got all these rounds, everything else. Everything is great.
Grades. Yeah. Everything's great, and they're all over the map. The only thing that seemed to be kind of consensus and universal.
Was that
the Falcons blanked up their entire thing.
Yeah.
Like that Caleb Williams, universal number one, and then like, oh yeah, the Falcons torpedoed their entire organization. They're screwed by taking Michael Penix.
It's everyone else's B's. And like a B minus or B plus.
Exactly. So with that in mind, the Rams went almost exclusively defense early. They took four of their first five picks were defensive players for obvious reasons. They have a lot of holes defensively, which we'll get to in a second. The one offensive player that they did go to relatively early in the third round was Blake Corum out of Michigan, the running back there. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. Look, he may be the second coming of, you know, Eric Dickerson, or he may be out of the league in 2 years. I have no idea. But as we sit here right now,
that is literally the running back position in a nutshell.
Who knows, mm-hmm. right? Kyren Williams is really good. Kyren Williams has been terrific ...... when he's available to play. When he's available, the Rams' offense looked totally different. He missed almost his entire first season with an injury. He missed six games last year, which is a third of the season. He got hurt towards the end where he had that hand injury where he went down. He's great. You need two of these guys. Corum's bigger. He's got about 20 pounds on Williams. One of the two criticisms of Sean McVay? One is, what are you doing with your timeouts? Fair.
Yep.
And number two is, can we run the ball inside the 10-yard line once or twice?
Sure.
Corum gives him an opportunity to do that. I really liked that, A, comes from a winning program, knows what expect. You go to Michigan, it's you win the national championship or it's not a good year. The Rams are, we make the playoffs, we push to the Super Bowl, or it's not a good year. That's not going to be new for him. I really liked that pick.
I have no idea how it will pan out, but I was surprised they took a running back.
I think everybody kind of was.
Yeah.
But the more the kind of the dust settles, I didn't think they would be taking a running back. I mean, I think we all were talking about different positions of need, predominantly on the defensive side. You're not going to replace Aaron Donald. Everybody knows that. So you're trying to get as many potentially defensive players to help in that regard. Or maybe you're going to go, like we were talking about leading up to Thursday, double down on offense and go out there and
apparently
see what you can
tried
do.
To get Bowers, and they just couldn't get it done.
Okay, yeah. You couldn't do it,
yeah.
And they readjusted. But I think getting a back in this situation – in the regards of, is Kyren Williams, what's his health? Can you depend on this guy for 17 games? The answer is I don't think no.
Not yet, you haven't.
I don't think you can. So from that perspective, it makes a little bit more sense. And listen, I think any team that has success in the NFL, you got to have a threat. You got to have a – and I know
and
the
probably run, more than one,
and
right?
I know the running back position is different than it might have been 10, 15 years ago, but you also have to be a threat with your running game. All right, you got two of them.
I also think specifically Sean McVay's best offenses include a great running back.
No question.
You can see in those four games that Kyren Williams missed last year is when they didn't have
struggle
the same offensive performances. So I think that it does, yes, give the get the insurance for when Kyren Williams may or may not be out. But also, one thing about Blake Corum, throughout the season last season, he was an emotional core of that Michigan Wolverines. Like, I remember that interview with him on the sidelines. I don't know if after they beat either Ohio State or Penn State. I can't remember what it was. But his eyes bleeding. He had pushed through a bunch of stuff. And you know that is going to be a tough guy that is going to get yards toughly in the NFL, and that's what they need.
They also addressed the Aaron Donald thing as best you can. Like, you're never drafting another Aaron Donald. You might not even draft another All-Pro at that position for who knows how long. But they took let's do it in numbers. We're going to take a defensive tackle. We're going to take an edge. We're going to take another edge. That they just kept doubling down on the thing that you're going to miss the most with Aaron Donald, which is putting pressure on the quarterback, which is completely blowing up other teams' options offensively. You're not going to do it with one guy, but if I do it with a bunch, I already got Turner. I've already got Young. Let's throw Verse in there. Let's throw Fisk in there. Let's just start throwing a bunch of things at this. You go and you get Tre'Davious White. You go and you re-sign Darius Williams. You go and you make a trade. What's the safety from Buffalo? Culver or something like that?
Tre'Davious White.
The other one. Maybe it was Carolina. But they basically rebuilt their entire defense because the defense up until this point was some combination of Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and some guys. And now both of them are gone. Ramsey's been gone for 2 years. Aaron Donald's long gone. You can't replace him with one guy. You got to replace him with four or five, and I think that's what they tried to do.
I like the concept, too, of – and I get it. You know, if somebody had the idea or the theory of just try to outscore teams and try to put up 30 points a game, I understand that. I understand the theory there. But tell me a team that's had success – real sustained success without having...
It's got to be at least mediocre.
I was just going to say,
maybe
you don't have the best defense. It's not the Baltimore Ravens back in the Ray Lewis days or Urlacher with the Bears. Okay, that's fine. But you still got to have a respectable defense. And that's all they're... And this isn't guarantee them that, but certainly you're paying more attention to the defensive side.
They could have eight new starters on defense this year. Eight.
Yeah.
And that is... I mean, that's crazy.
And that's typically, that's in most cases would be
a red flag.
A rebuild.
And this is with a new defensive coordinator. And I think that it's very different if this was Raheem Morris still at the helm of the defense for the Rams, but that this is under Chris Shula, which we have not seen him be a DC, but also we haven't seen him be a DC
right
with all of these, maybe potential starters, maybe not, but all these young players, who's the most like a decorated player that's going to be on the defense? What, Ernest Jones?
Tre'Davious White, who's been hurt a lot too.
And he's new to this team.
Yeah.
So it's like, who is going to be the person on the leader?
Think about how it's changed so much. Because before, you had two people in that room that everybody had the utmost respect for. Aaron Donald and Raheem Morris. Aaron Donald is Aaron Donald. Raheem Morris is, I don't know if I've ever been around a team and heard everybody unanimously talk about how important an assistant coach was, that he was that guy. Everybody
yep.
loved him and respected him. And if he said, hey, this is what we want to do, guys are snapping too. And you got Aaron Donald in the room. Aaron Donald's the hardest worker. He's the best player. Everything's going to fall in line. First year DC, a brand new room of defensive players. There are a lot of question marks. The best thing in Chris Shula's, Sean McVay likes him. If Sean McVay likes him, cool. Let's roll with that because I trust Sean McVay. But beyond that, there is a lot of hoping. There is a lot of, let's see how it works out. When Raheem Morris comes in, he's a made guy in the league. He's going to show up and do it. With Shula, it's new.
It's the best case. Literally, it's the best case is if Sean McVay thinks he should be the defensive coordinator, then he should be the defensive coordinator. Until, if we're sitting here a year from now and saying, what the hell was McVay thinking? That's a completely different conversation. We just haven't had
but
too
also,
many of those.
They haven't even had to think about who's leading the defense for several years.
Sure.
They had Brandon Staley into Raheem Morris, and say whatever you want about
Wade
Brandon
Phillips
Staley.
Wade
Phillips before that. He's always had someone you didn't even have to think about as your defensive coordinator, and you're going to have to think about Chris Shula because this is his first time taking the helm.
Hopefully the Lakers don't have to think about what they're going to do next for a while other than get ready for a potential Game 6, but the Suns already do, and the Lakers might soon. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Next Gen is the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. That's right, Next Gen, the absolute best in the biz and has thousands of five-star reviews online to prove it. I cannot believe what I saw at NextGen when I went out there last week to their headquarters. I've never seen a group of people so committed to making sure that their customers get exactly what they want on time. I was blown away by their commitment. So if you are getting ready for summer, like we all are, and your AC isn't quite up to snuff, how about this? A 28-point full heat and AC safety inspection and tune-up, just $44, limited right now through the end of the month. That's right, just $44. To ensure that your system stays running strong all year long, they're going to throw in a free air filter as well at no extra charge. Just call 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN. It's about to get hot. It's about to be summer. You're going to want to make sure your AC is up and running at its best. 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN or nextgenaaronplumbing.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You ever had a transfusion, like the drink, not like a blood thing?
I think so.
I think I have. No.
They're interesting.
What's it again?
What day?
Yeah, what is it?
So it is vodka with ginger ale and a little splash of grape juice. Okay? Doesn't sound great.
Oh, you've talked about
lime juice as well,
it
says.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to get a picture.
It looks delicious.
I thought I sent Chris a picture. They are rather refreshing, shall we say. It's a nice drink on a nice sunny Saturday afternoon.
I was going to say, this is Saturday?
Yeah. And they go down easy.
How'd you feel Sunday? A little slower?
B minus.
What is this, a Rams grade?
It's B minus. Look, I put it to you this way. It's the first Sunday I didn't go for a walk in a long time, but I went for a nice long one on Saturday morning, got in around in 7/8 of the next group. It was pretty good. And only a couple of them, but they're pretty strong. We had a good day.
That's a good day.
Worthy Splash is still my favorite golf course drink, but the transfusion is not. It's purple. It looks like Kool-Aid. You're like, that looks stupid. It's really good.
I went.
You got me going on the weekend, but go ahead.
I'm gonna throw. If this is alcohol, then you could go.
Oh, it is.
Because mine's gonna be.
You went to LAFC on Saturday, right?
I started with Travis on Friday. We had
a nice afternoon.
Right. So we started downstairs. We had one, and then the next day I took four of my boys: Ivan, Vic, his brother Kike, and his nephew Ian.
Ivan,
yeah. So we go to the LAFC game, and I've known these guys for 20 years. Like, I started playing soccer with them when I was 18 or 19, and, you know, now it was cool because Kike is like, dude, like, it's cool seeing you, like, you know, seeing you and being your element of what you become and stuff like that. So I brought him in. We watched the game. Thriller, it was 2-2, 90 plus minutes, and then Buonga hits the game winner, 3-2, and
awesome.
LAFC wins the game, and it was cool. But they started off with micheladas. And they're like, you want one? I was like, I can have one. You know, I'm going to limit myself. And then we go upstairs, and then they start going with, you know, palomas or these vodka drinks and stuff like that. Do you want to try some? No. So then they start asking questions up there. It's like, oh, you can get food is on the house, whatever. And then they're like, also beer and wine is on the house. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. good to know.
Better prepared.
At the same time, I was like, you know, I'm limiting myself to drinking because, you know, I haven't been doing it. But, you know, those guys had a really good
of course
time.
They did.
I bet they did.
First LAFC match they've ever been to. And then Ian, who's was a Galaxy fan. I was like, Ian, they don't do it like this in Carson. And he's like, shut up, man. And at the end of the night, Ian ended up buying a hoodie. He's like, hey, Dad, can you buy me a hoodie? Because I really like this. So then Ian tells my buddy Vic, he's like, hey, Unc, next week, we play Real Salt Lake. It's like, we? What do you mean we? All of a sudden you're fans. So Ian had a good time. Ian's a sophomore in high school.
And by the way, it's all it takes.
Yeah.
Free food, free drinks, good game, great stadium, quality products. Like, yeah, no, that's better.
Wait, think about it.
And a sweatshirt.
Wait.
And a sweatshirt.
Think about that. Galaxy does look, we talked about this, I don't know, 1-2 weeks ago. We were talking about different brands when they start. I forget, maybe this came up because of the Coyotes are moving from Arizona. They're going to Salt Lake, and they were trying to come up with team names. I don't know of another organization that came in and it's like, damn, those are good colors. Wow, you got a new stadium. Wow, the fan base is the right fan base. The Galaxy, that logo looks old. The team, I don't even feel like it resonates anymore in Los Angeles. I could be completely wrong on this because I'm not the soccer guy, but my gosh, it's like one brand. It's like they rebranded, even though it was a completely new company compared to an old company. The old company now just looks ancient.
Well, there's A's and B's, right? So if you're in a city like Los Angeles,
Galaxy should be an A.
No question. New York, Chicago, the Bay Area, where you get two of the same thing. If you went and asked 100 people, the A and the B in New York in baseball, 100 people are saying Yankees, then Mets.
Right.
Same thing. You're going to say Dodgers and Angels. You're going to say Lakers, then Clippers. You're going to say Knicks and then Nets. It's obvious, right? This one isn't obvious anymore. This is the one of the I can't think of another where you had Galaxy's won how many MLS Cups?
Five
MLS Cups, and the league's been around what, 25 years?
Since 96.
Okay,
damn.
And Beckham.
They had Beckham.
They're not just good. They're one of the best. And this other team shows up, and it's like instantly like, no, we're not the B. We're pushing you forward.
Yeah,
they're snagging
easy.
Fans. It's impossible to do.
And you can tell the difference. When Messi came, LAFC was a huge party. It was Messi is in LA. Earlier this season, they played in Carson. You know, Messi came to Carson. It wasn't
the
same.
It
wasn't the same vibe.
Because they were in Carson.
Exactly.
And that stadium, BMO Stadium's bananas.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's terrific. Yeah. Lakers, hopefully, we're not talking about, what do they do from here? But we might be talking about it tomorrow. The Suns are talking about it right now. And we touched on it briefly last week. There's a very obvious and dramatic changing of the guard going on in the Western Conference right now, where the Nuggets are clearly in the meat of their prime. They're the defending champs. They're a pretty darn good pick to go win it again this year. They're going to have the guy that won three of the last four MVPs as their best player. And then you see what Minnesota did to Phoenix last night. You see what Oklahoma City is doing right now. There is a clear change in the Western Conference. New Orleans feels like they're kind of up and down because of health issues. Memphis is going to get Ja. All the teams that for a long time were that second tier are now the first tier, and the Lakers and the Suns and the Warriors and maybe even the Clippers, if they can't figure this out, they're going to drop into that second tier, and the Suns are facing with the Lakers, maybe not quite to the same degree because of economics, but what do you do with aging older players and not a lot of moves after that?
Look at this. Look how crazy this is. This is what they have committed for the next 2 years. I'm talking about the Phoenix Suns, okay? They already have, and yes, there's some players with some player options, things like that. Okay, but that's chump change. It's three here, two here, something like that. They have $190 million committed to next year. They got swept in the first round of the playoffs. They got $193 million committed to the following year. 193 committed to 2025, 2026. By then, KD's in his 17th, 18th season, whatever it is. They're paying KD 51, Bradley Beal 50, and Devin Booker 49 for the next 2 years. Now, it's going to 54, 53, and 53 the following year after that. This kind of, you know, if the NBA, if you were able to do this before, first off, you got to pick the right players. If you want to fast forward to a championship or a chance at winning a championship, and you want to have three stars, they better be the right three players. They better complement each other. They better be with the right organization. They better have a good head coach. The front office better get the right role players. The Phoenix Suns, you know, Matt Ishbia came in and bought the Phoenix Suns and tried fast forwarding to a championship. You know what they gave up? This is kind of crazy. I saw this a little bit earlier. For those who try to, by the way, compare him to a super team, that's not a super team. Suns traded for Kevin Durant, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and control of over five first-round picks to Brooklyn for KD. For Bradley Beal, four first-round swaps to Washington for Bradley Beal. They don't have a first-round pick till after 2030. This is the roster that you have. You got the wrong stars on your team. You got the wrong players as far as age and health. I don't think the Lakers, this is not, I don't have any comps to the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns other than are you in your window? Because the Lakers at least have not demolished themselves.
No, they're not in as deep of a hole, but I wonder if they aren't in a similar hole, because I want to read this. This is a source inside the Suns that said their new owner, Matt Ishbia, quote, has no idea what he's doing when it comes to basketball. It's like Looney Tunes around here. It's felt unsustainable since he arrived. He's a good guy and everything, I think, but he's just very involved, too involved. I know he played at Michigan State, but I'd venture to say he has no idea what's going on when it comes to basketball. Yet he's making a lot of the big decisions. If your ownership is bad, you're in deep trouble. It doesn't mean that occasionally you can't catch lightning in a bottle and have a good season here or there, or you get exactly the right player that kind of pulls you up out of a bad spot. But if ownership is bad, and if ownership is bad and involved, and almost as bad, ownership is bad and not involved in putting the right people in the right spot and then pulling back, there is no easy fix, because we'll just go get that guy. Okay, it needs to be the exact right guy at the exact right time with the exact right roster that has some built-in safety valves in it to where there's a supporting cast or anything. But if you get this top-heavy thing and it doesn't work, look at what the Clippers are doing right now. Look at what the Suns are doing right now. Look at where the Warriors are right now. Look at where the Lakers are right now. You have some super incredible headlining guys, but beyond that, it's not good.
Well, and those headlining guys, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week. The torch is already, this league is becoming, this is Jokic's league. It's sure. Anthony Edwards' league. It's guys that are 28 and under.
Luka.
It's not 35 and up.
No.
Or 32 and 34 and up, something along those lines, plus injury prone. I will say this.
Who's going to be the person to say, okay, this is the path forward? It needs to be the general manager, or it mm-hmm. needs to be the owner, or ideally an owner who selects the general manager, who has a vision and turns those people loose, that you're not constantly changing tack, or, hey, just give up everything for that 35-year-old guy who makes $50 million a year.
It
doesn't work.
Here's what I would say is the good news for the Phoenix Suns. Now, we're going to find out if Matt Ishbia is smart enough to realize this. I just went and spent, he's on that second apron, whatever. The dude's not afraid to spend money, mm-hmm. but it's how you spend your money. If Matt Ishbia realizes in a year or 2 years I gotta get the hell out of the way here. The money that I'm spending, I need to go spend it on a front office. I go spend as much money as I want on a front office and then let them come in here and make those decisions. That, I think, is going to be the question mark with him is, does he adjust and realize, if I'm spending my money, that's not a bad thing. I just got to spend it towards resources of a front office and not players.
So when do you do it and who do you know who to go get? We'll do that coming up at 11:45, but coming up next, Factor Caps. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey guys, I'm gonna
Aloha.
Start.
Aloha.
I'm gonna start not in my traditional fashion. I'm gonna have you guys guess an over under on something. Okay.
Okay.
We're gonna start with this. So over the weekend, we knew that the NFL draft was in Detroit, and it was taking place in a park in Detroit, like kind of the plaza area, a huge area. There was 775,000 people. At this, which is an insane number to even think about, okay?
Tell me that number again.
It was 775,000 fans.
So over the course of...
Over the course of three days. Not each day had that amount.
But that's still insane.
Right. That's a lot of people.
That's right. Insane.
So there is a hot dog shop called Lafayette Coney Island that is walking distance right around where this is. Okay. So WXYZ in Detroit released this is how many hot dogs they sold over the course of the 3 days. Okay. So I'm going to have you guys guess an over under on the amount of hot dogs that were purchased over the 3 days. Okay. Do you want to know the average day or do you not want to know at all how many they sell?
I just want to try to get there without any clues.
Okay.
You said 775,000 people.
Yes. And again, not everybody's going to go get a hot dog.
Right. Correct. But some people need to get more than one.
Of course.
I got a number.
But I don't think, like, just logistically, I don't think this place could get a million hot dogs.
It's not a huge place.
That's
it's
what
kind
I'm saying.
A
could you get a million? I'm going to say 400,000.
Okay. Al?
I was a lot lower. I'll and bring it up a little. Right. I'll go 200,000.
Okay.
$175,000.
You're a lot closer. It was only 10,000 hot dogs.
That's it?
Oh. Yeah, I know. It's like, that's why are you putting out this whole thing? Oh, there's so many hot dogs.
Nah,
they normally have 1,500 to 1,600 a day. So that's only a little bit more than it.
Dodger Stadium holds 50,000 people.
Right.
You know what
okay?
it was?
They sell 10,000 hot dogs by the fourth inning.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought it was so low.
The setup of this is how many people.
Yeah.
I thought we're getting 100,000.
Yeah, for sure.
Getting 100,000.
Like
they should shut their doors. That sucks.
Yeah. Or maybe they jacked
the
prices.
GM on the phone.
Maybe they jacked up the prices for NFL draft day. But yeah, like, I got this, came across my timeline on Twitter, and I was like, that's a little... You don't need to put that out there.
Lame.
Anyway, okay. So over the weekend, and he went undrafted, but not undrafted in my heart. Sam Hartman ended up at the Washington Commanders as an undrafted quarterback, and he signed one of the biggest deals for an undrafted free agent. So this is his deal. So he got a $20,000 signing bonus and a $225,000 base salary to be the backup or even
how much
third.
Is that is from the hair product well, sponsorship?
My statement is this has almost all to do with his attractiveness. Travis Fettercap.
Well, fact, because being handsome is an enormous advantage. Being pretty is an enormous advantage that you get things that regular-looking folks or, quite frankly, ugly-looking folks do not get. This guy is okay. He's a decent enough player. But if he's undrafted and he's getting signed, you don't get signing bonuses when you're undrafted. You don't get all the – I mean, this is so marketing-related that if he looked like a gargoyle, you're not giving him these sorts of things. Yeah, being handsome is a good break.
Al?
Fact, and you said this is with the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also because it's not with a good franchise as well, so that probably helps as well.
Yeah.
So if you
he's
told me
he's not even on the depth chart.
If she would have said something to the effect of, I don't know, think of it's the Baltimore Ravens or sure. it's the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, like a team that you're like, nah, they're pretty good with their picks. I go fact on this. It's marketing.
I mean, the NFL has so many more female viewers now because of Taylor Swift. Now the Commanders are going
right.
to get off of that. So, Jorge, do you think this is everything to do with his attractiveness?
Well, I'm with Travis. Yeah, yeah. And Steve on this one, of course. Also, I thought the same thing was going to happen with, what's his name, the guy who left the Jets, Zach Wilson. Remember?
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he was like, attractiveness.
Yeah.
And everybody's mom went over to that guy because he was handsome. So, yeah, it pays off to be handsome.
The Washington Commanders depth chart, according to ESPN.com. Jaden Daniels is the sure. starter. Marcus Mariota is the backup. Jeff sure. Driscoll's the third string yeah. quarterback. And the fourth string quarterback is Jake Fromm.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson is a boy attractive. Sam Hartman's a man, okay? Just look at his hair.
You're going to get a jersey?
Maybe. Or just a jersey of his face. All right, so over the weekend, the Pelicans, sadly, were booted out of the playoffs by the Thunder. And you know how everyone's saying, one,
still
two, three.
Still going, I think. Still
I thought they were?
I think they got one more.
Okay, well. Yeah. They're
down 0-3 right now.
They're about to be booted from the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So this is where their conversation. Or maybe this is about the Suns. No, this is about the Pelicans. Anyway, so Charles Barkley was, everyone says 1-2-3 Cancun, and Charles Barkley said they don't even deserve Cancun. And this is what he said.
Disappointing on us. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We're not even gonna send them to Cancun. We're gonna send them to Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all gonna send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all ass. Y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water.
All right, so you wouldn't even take a free trip to Galveston, Alf, after Cap.
Cap. I don't know anything about the area, and I have no problem trying something new out. Now, am I going to go sit on the dirty water in the beach and go snorkeling? Probably not.
Are you going to Muncie, Indiana, too?
I'm probably not going to. I'll try places out. Okay. I got no problem trying places
out.
Cap.
Trev?
I've been to Galveston. It's awful.
That bad?
It is awful.
You have precious little PTO.
That is exactly why Barkley picked it. Charles Barkley played for the Houston Rockets. I'm sure he had the misfortune of making the same terrible mistake that I made when I lived in Houston, which is, hey man, I need to see a body of water. I need to see something big. Like, I'm a California kid. I'm used to being near the ocean. I got to see something. It looks like your toilet backed up. That's exactly what it looks like. Like, I'm not trying to be gross about this, but that's happened to everybody, and you're like, oh my God, that looks terrible. That's what the entire Galveston Bay looks like a backed up toilet.
I'm looking at Airbnbs right now.
So,
in
yeah,
Galveston.
It's not great.
What's the price like?
Go to Viator, get a little tour guide around Galveston.
No, Charles gets it yet again.
Okay, Jorge.
I'm with Travis. I wouldn't go. So is it cap fact, right?
That would be fact.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't go either. See, like, another place in Texas that I went to is South Padre Island.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Okay. Besides the hotels and all that stuff around there that's near the water, there's really nothing to do. And I only went there because I had to work.
Yeah.
So most likely I'll end up in places like, Galveston just for work.
You're
going
to go to the beach, come to California, go to Hawaii,
exactly.
Go to the Bahamas.
Well,
not Panama Beach. What's it called? The one where everybody goes now.
Seaside, I think.
Is it Seaside?
Yeah.
Destin or something. There are pretty spots in that Destin. There are pretty spots in that part. Galveston's not one of them.
Yep.
We have Google Earth now. You can look at these things. we're all plugged in all these things.
We got TikTok.
That's one of those. Oh hell no!
Alan's like, I'm going for the hiking.
I knew nothing about the place. The tourism is booming since John Barkley bought it up.
All right, I got one more for you guys. All right, so this happened to me yesterday, and this was in the process of my move. And someone comes up to me, and I was going to go say hi to them. or like I was like being friendly as they were passing by, and they're like, "Oh, you moving, whatever."
Nah.
And then a dog. They have a dog with them, a little kind of little yappy dog.
Ugh.
And the dog's. I'm like, the dog's like coming towards me and like barking pretty harshly.
Yep.
Not like
coming at your
yip,
ankles,
but like
yep,
a little aggressively. And then this woman's like, "Oh, he's friendly. Don't worry about that."
They
so,
all say that.
They but. If, by the way, they literally all say
if a dog is barking and they say, "Oh, he's friendly," you trust them. Jorge Fattercap.
Heck no, never. Like, if I see somebody walking with me and they have a dog, I kind of, like, I try not to do it, like, so obvious, but I kind of take two or three steps away from them because I don't know what that dog is going to be like. I don't care if he's, if you think he's friendly, I don't know your
dog.
No,
he's friendly.
Sorry. No, heck no.
Trav?
Cap. Like, it's one of those things. Like, there's... I've only met Rookie the one time. Rookie was kind of bouncing around all of this, but it wasn't aggressive. It was like an enthusiasm.
Playful.
He was playful. Yeah. That's a better word. Barking is never playful. Barking is always quasi-aggressive at some point. And if they're doing that thing where they're kind of lunging at you and the guy's pulling the leash back, no. Oh, he's friendly. Yeah, great. I'm sure he is. Keep it away from me.
Exactly.
Al?
Cap, I feel like... I have a pretty good, see how I put this. If I'm walking Rookie, and I walk Rookie all the time, if there are people walking with us, we're on the sidewalk, I'll go to the street. Like, I'm never trying to cross paths with people. And Rookie's the last dog that would do something. But I don't know. Maybe they don't want to be around a dog. So I just kind of always, I kind of walk to the side, or I walk on the grass for a quick second. Like, I just kind of get out of the way. I don't understand the people where... the leash is like they're holding the top of the leash, so the dog has a lot of room to roam. There's people coming around. I'm like, I'm about to wrap you're about to wrap your leash around my ankles here when I'm just going for a walk. Pull your dog in a little bit. So no, I don't trust him.
We're coming home from lunch yesterday, Susan and I. It was a beautiful day outside. We got the windows down, sunroof in the Silverado is open. We're having a wonderful drive home. It's great. And we're driving up residential street, so it's not a busy street. It's not. And this guy's walking his dog towards us as we're driving in the street. The dog's not on a leash, and it's a small dog. Dog couldn't have weighed 12 pounds. A tiny dog. Mm-hmm. The dog just runs into the middle of the street and kind of stops in the middle of the road. So I stop, looking at the guy like, "You gonna come get your dog?" And he's just looking at me like, "No, you're going to have to wait for that dog." Finally, jeez, the dog kind of moves out of the way and disappears behind some other parked cars. I can't even really see it, so I don't even know exactly where it is. So I start slowly moving forward, waiting for somebody else, you know, be careful or something. Never goes to get the dog. Never goes to get the dog. And we drive by, and Susan, who is the least confrontational, she's like, "Have a nice day." Like, get your dog on a leash. It was in the middle of the damn street.
You're going to get your dog freaking hit by a car.
If I weren't paying attention, it could have happened.
And, okay, again, we have these Waymos driving around. Who knows if they're going to see the dog, too? So it's just, if you're in a public space, if you're not in your own enclosed backyard or at a dog park.
I'd rather have more Waymos and less humans.
Oh, speaking of the Waymos, I saw one turning here on Olympic.
Yeah.
They're out there.
There was like, one, I mean, driving around my
nobody's
neighborhood
in there?
The other day.
Yeah, it's weird.
Everything's spinning outside
and
of
that
bail.
Thing. It looks like a submarine.
Yeah, we should get on one just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
enjoy your ride.
I'm with you.
Let's go to BMO. Yeah.
Before we go to break, I have some news from Magic Johnson. He says, "Laker Nation, I'm feeling good about the Lakers today. They have a great momentum going to tonight's game, and I think they're going to win tonight." So Magic Johnson's on our side, guys.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
I'm gonna start prepping for game six.
That's awesome. Hopefully there is a game six. What if there isn't? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Quick question for you guys. If I go to a bar/restaurant like I did yesterday afternoon and get a cheeseburger and fries and a Coke, which is exactly what I did.
Solid.
Does that count as a fast food meal?
No.
I don't think it does.
I think it has to be like through a
drive-through.
They had to hand it through me through the window
in
of
a bag.
My car.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the best choice in the world.
It's not, definitely not.
But I don't think I would count it as
there's
a fast food.
There's some exceptions to the rule. I don't feel like, and it is, I understand it is, but I don't feel like In-N-Out is your regular fast food.
It's not. But this
but
was
there are levels.
It is, it is
there are levels. But yeah, but think about that. You think Carl's Jr. is the same
as
In-N-Out?
What I'm asking is, I have had fast food once since the first of the year, which is quite frankly fairly extraordinary for me. When I went to the bar yesterday, the restaurant, it's a, you know, they have food, TVs,
right,
and had a waiter brought it to me on a plate, burger, fries, and a Coke. That's not fast food?
I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
No, it's not.
Like, would you count?
I mean, you're lying to yourself, but.
I mean, I understand it's an unhealthy choice. I needed it yesterday. It needed to be done.
Okay, here's like,
wings. Yeah. Would you count that?
I had wings on Saturday.
Yeah, so that's also basically fast food, too, because, I mean, if you count Wingstop.
But they were at the golf course. There wasn't a Wingstop.
Okay, how about this? Let's say you went to a fast food joint.
And you sat inside, and then they bring you the tray.
You took it home. You put it on a nice plate.
Oh, nah.
Put some ketchup on the side.
I feel like it's paid with slightly better. I don't know. It is a Michelob Ultra Reaction Monday here on 710. Tonight, it's a Michelob Ultra Watch Party in the city of Downey. You can join the ESPN Ollie Street Team starting at 6 o'clock tonight at Ojos Locos in Downey to root on the purple and gold for Game 5 tonight. That is Ojos Locos at 8350 Firestone Boulevard in Downey. You can win some ESPN Ollie swag, and you got a chance to take home an Austin Reeves signed basketball. See it tonight. Thanks to Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it.
Crazy eyes.
If you if the Lakers win tonight, we're going to talk about Game 6. If the Lakers can extend the series a little further, maybe you could tell your story about, hey, listen, we just lost to the best team again. They're likely to win an NBA championship. We've just run into the best team. We're not quite as good as that team. Can you go into the offseason and say, we're going to nibble around the edge. We're going to try to get marginally better in our supporting cast. Maybe we'll get a better coach. We're going to try to move some pieces around. I think if you go out there tonight and you lose, I think the writing's kind of on the wall that you're going to have to reevaluate what it is you're doing. But what are the options? What are the options that AD's here and you want him to be because he's had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
I think it's far more likely than not that LeBron opts in and maybe they tackle another year in.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a coaching change. Maybe there isn't. Maybe Russell's gone. Probably. But the nuts and bolts of this team and the people that are going to make the decisions on the nuts and bolts of this team are going to be the same. LeBron James is very likely to be back. Anthony Davis will be back. Austin Reeves will be back. The coaching staff may or may not be back. But you're not like you're going to reshuffle the entire roster and have 8 or 9 new faces.
No, that's not happening.
So what changes? If the last couple of years you've been 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there, fighting in the play-in, you got your way out, you won a series here or there, you run into the night. What changes?
Can I ask you a question? Let's say they didn't play Denver in the first round. And let's say they ended up losing that game against the Pelicans and they ended up in that OKC bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a big if, but I think people would have probably
certainly feel better about that in the Nuggets.
Lakers would beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then the second round, it was Clippers or Dallas, and you got to, again, avoid Minnesota or Denver and any of these other teams. I won't even, whatever the result was of the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves, or the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers, whatever the result is in that series, I think there are a lot of teams that are kind of in a similar spot. The problem with the Lakers spot is everything's got to go perfect. The problem with the Lakers spot is, let's say you lose to Denver, that's 2 years in a row you lost, and Denver goes on to win the whole thing. That's 2 years in a row that somebody can make the argument, yeah, but you lost to the NBA champions or the best team out there. You lost to what Nikola Jokic, go look at the great players that have ever played this game, and there are times where you just can't win a championship because that player is at their peak, and that's Jokic. The Lakers' issue is, am I getting 76 games from Anthony Davis next year? Am I getting X amount of games from Braun? I think Braun played over 70. The problem is the Lakers aren't getting any younger. Other teams look like they're going up. I don't think much is going to change in the offseason. What you do with D'Angelo Russell will change. Coaching staff probably changes. But the overall, hey, there's 3 or 4 teams that got a chance to win an NBA championship. Are Lakers going to be in that conversation?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, they're not in the conversation right now. I get it. It could break a different way. The fact of the matter is, this is, I don't want to say the third, this is multiple years in a row you're knocking around the play-in. There's no reason to think that's not what it'll be next year, because there is no major change on any. The coaching change is the biggest change.
Can
right?
I tell you when the major change happens? The major change happens when LeBron James decides he doesn't want to play anymore, or doesn't want to play for the Lakers anymore. And until
are
that
you
happens,
secretly rooting for that, because I don't disagree, Al. I wonder if that isn't the oh thank goodness. Not that he's not awesome. Not that he's not great. Not that he hasn't. But it allows you to make, and it's his decision. You didn't say no, move on. Mm-hmm. It's his decision to say I want to go play over there, and now I can. All right. Anthony Davis is our best player. How are we going to make it better for him?
I think it makes it a lot more interesting. I think it makes the team a lot younger. I think you could start looking towards the future. I think you could start building towards a team that you feel like, okay, what's it look like 2-3 years from now? I think you could start identifying the next star to play with Anthony Davis. It's a lot more interesting because I've already kind of seen the script here for the last couple of years.
And the people making the decision are the same people making the decisions. So you'll get similar decisions. We'll get what the next coach is going to get 2 or 3, because that's kind of the number that you get when you come through here. We're going to keep a team together.
You're right about the 2 or 3. Literally 3 on the high end, 2 on the right.
And oh, by the way, the shuffling of the offseason, it's like, oh, we're going to add a bunch of, you know, surefire, the Westbrook, Howard, Mello. Okay, old and experienced. Well, that didn't work. Okay, we're going to go young and go to what we have now. Okay, well, that's not really working out. Nothing fundamentally changes. And this kind of goes back to what we're talking about with Ishbia a little bit, that if ownership is where it is and it's the same decision, maybe you'll get a different decision, but the process is the same. James may change it in just because he decides, I want to go over there. Okay, but replacing James, getting the next guy, surrounding him with the right players, Same. 2 years for this coach, 3 years for that coach, this supporting cast. And I'm not talking about the headliners. I'm talking about the guys that round out the roster. Every 2 years, we're going to shuffle that deck over and over again. It's the same thing. And you're getting the same result. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, floating around. Good year, you're near the high of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Bad year, you're down on the bottom. It's the same. The pieces have all moved, but the results are the same.
Oh, my cat. The only thing that they could say to say, look, we cashed in a championship in 2020 and we got to the Western Conference Finals last season. That even though these swings
the
are
title,
all over
I'm
the place.
You, the title for sure, mm-hmm. because they won the title. So mm-hmm. that
well, that team was
itself.
Also stacked. That was a really good team. And that was actually the construction of that roster was a really, really good construction.
Other
of that
than
roster.
The two guys, it's long gone. And like you said, health and issue and everything else, mm-hmm. but everything else has changed. And oh, by the way, it's 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was last year, I think, was more really good timing and a really good draw. That what you got last year could have easily been this year with one basket going a different way.
I still think that the Lakers are very, very – their roster this year is a very competitive roster. The problem is you can have a question mark about the coach, and then you need everything to go perfect as well on top of that. That's not typically how you compete for a championship.
Otani might be the best player in the National League, and I still feel like he's struggling. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.